It's a bittersweet morning because all of us need to get back to a regular schedule and live life where it is normally lived. And yet, our family, this week is sort of what we move toward as the year, as we go through the year. And we look forward to seeing you and new folks each year. Our prayer is that God will bring those here that He wants here, that we might worship together and look to Him together, and our hearts might be knit together in a sense of worship and awe at our God. If you go away from here with any sense of that whatsoever, and thanks be to God. And what are we, after all, to make of life's circumstances? It's ups and downs, the unexpected, the uncontrollable, the unexplainable. The unexpected can be as simple as a flat tire and as tragic as the death of a child. The uncontrollable can be as minimal as a cold. Some of you are experiencing that this week with lowered resistance. But it can also be as monumental as an earthquake. Tidal wave. The unexplainable can be as mystifying as the loss of one's keys, or as horrifying as contracting a rare and incurable illness. Why do things happen as they do? Why do some things happen at all? In one sense, we all have a desire for answers. And we who believe wish we could answer the skeptics, who ask some hard questions, some of which our brother Dave has posed. If you interact with the world at all, you will be confronted with these questions. What kind of a God would do that? How can you believe in a God who allows that? But in another sense, we shun and disdain simple answers and grow weary when they are thrown at us as a quick fix. But the one thing we can say about providence, about the providence of God, is that it puts our Lord right where He belongs, at the center of all things. All of us here are at different stages of growth, practically and theologically. Some of us struggle more at certain points in our growth with certain questions about God and His ways than others who are at another point. And so I will say this. If you leave today with an assurance that our Lord is at the center of all things, then you are moving in the right direction. A biblical understanding of providence is, in the final analysis, a biblical understanding of life. So we come to the place where Paul came, amazed at the goodness of God in salvation, the grace of God in sanctification, and the certainty of our Lord's and our ultimate glorification. Paul finds himself in that ocean I mentioned Wednesday night, the ocean of God's providence. O Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who among us has known the mind of God? Or who has been His counselor? Which brings us to perhaps the most simple and yet most profound statement in Scripture on why things happen. It is a simple answer. Maybe better it's to say it's a clear answer, but it's not a simplistic answer. It's an amazing anchor for the soul trusting Christ. So it's not very long, and you may already have it memorized. Rest your soul on this. Romans 11, 36. After his crescendo of doxology, his awestruck wonder at the magnificence of God, Paul says, as we sang, for from him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I want us to see three very clear and simple things from this very short text. And I believe it will encourage us. I trust with God's help it will encourage all of us to trust Him more and to rest in His sovereignty. The first thing I want us to notice is that God in Christ is the sovereign giver of everything. God is the sovereign giver of everything. For from Him are all things. Now, too many people, even Christians, see life as a series of uncontrollable and unexplainable events. We were talking at the table one of these days here, and I mentioned an evangelical leader who was interviewed on television when 9/11 happened. People looking for answers. And he had one. He said that somebody broached the possibility of where God was in all this. And he said something to this effect. God had nothing to do with that. And I wanted to grab the television and say, I beg your pardon? My God, who sits in the heavens and rules all things, passively set by? While so-called terrorists willed their own way? People are frustrated and disappointed by what life seems to throw at them. But they hope and pray that God can and will help them and answer their prayers. But for us, it should not be so. This passage and others tells us that our Lord is the sovereign giver of everything. And in this we see both the source and the significance of life's events. First, we see the source of life's events. It's as simple as it says. For from Him are all things. Not one thing, nothing, is the product of chance or accident. We've avoided certain terminology this week on purpose, because people use certain labels and terms to caricature, or they caricature that particular label. But there was a man, and I won't use the C word. But there was a man, and my sons like this story. I don't know if it would be as funny to you as it is to them. But there was a man, we'll say this man had a very strong belief in the sovereignty of God. And so he believed that all things were already predestined. And one day he got up and he was walking down the stairs and he tripped and he fell down the stairs. And finally he rolled to a stop. He got up and looked around. He brushed himself off, made sure nothing was broken, and he said, "I'm glad that's over." People like to caricature those who believe that God is the giver of all things as fatalist. If I believe that as an unbalanced view of God. They supposedly believe that, you know, they think that people who believe that way, and someone very close to me said this, "Well, you believe what is to be will be, even if it never comes to pass." That sounds foolish, and it really kind of is. But there are people who caricature those who believe in the sovereignty of God over all things that way. But it's an unfair and unbiblical reaction. What about man's will in the matter? What about events and circumstances and that affect outcomes? We see it in life, don't we? I mean, things happen. Those things affect certain other things. Almost like a domino effect in some cases. Our brother Dewey quoted from the Westminster Confession, and I'm grateful for the Westminster Confession. It just happens to be Presbyterian, and I happen not to be Presbyterian, so, but it's good. I was grateful to hear him quote from it. In like manner, the framers of the 1689 Baptist Confession addressed the same issues, a few of them from a little different perspective, but they wisely addressed and biblically addressed this issue of causes and circumstances. This is what they said. "From all eternity, God decreed all that should happen in time." Now, if they'd stopped there, it would leave us wondering a whole lot. But they said, "Yet in so doing, he does not become, in any sense, the author of sin, nor does he share responsibility for sin with sinners. Neither, by reason of his decree, is the will of any creature whom he has made violated, nor is the free working of secondary causes put aside. Rather, it is established." I know you didn't get all that down on your paper, but and I commend to you the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. You can get it even in modern language, and it's excellent. But what this says is that even though we have a bit of a struggle here, we see the biblical concept in a nutshell. How can we say that God is the source, the giver of all things? But I say, how can we not? Otherwise, we have a passive God who either cannot or will not do anything about circumstances. His hands tied. He reacts to uncontrollable events. Somewhat like we were having a conversation yesterday, some of us. And one young lady said, "Yeah, I got the people view God as a Superman who is stronger and mightier than us, but not in absolute control." But this is not our God. Our God is the sovereign giver of all things. He's the source of all things. But secondly, we see that he is the significance of life's events. He's not only the source of life's events, it gives significance to life's events. Now, the fact that our Lord is the source of life's events explains and underscores the significance and importance of them. What could make the events and circumstances of life more significant than that they come from the hand of God? The prophet Amos said, "Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord has not done it?" And Job is incredulous with his wife when he says to her, "What?" You remember, she said, "Well, just curse God and die. Get this over with." Fatalist. He says, "What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, of the Lord, and shall we not receive evil? Seriously, woman? And James says and hints at it when he says, don't be mistaken, brothers and sisters. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and come down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation, neither shadow of turning or shifting shadow. And herein lies the matter of personal responsibility. Since the circumstances of life are given to us by God, our responsibility in receiving them and responding to them is all the greater. Our God is not passive in bestowing life circumstances, and we must not be passive in responding to them. We are not like the gentleman referred to earlier who simply gets up and walks away and dusts himself off and walks away from the circumstances and says, I'm sure glad that's over. What God has given, you and I are responsible to receive and respond to biblically as faithful sons and daughters of God. Here we see that He is the sovereign giver of all things. But secondly, we see that our Lord is the sovereign guide of all things. He is the sovereign giver and the sovereign guide of all things. For from Him and through Him are all things. Unless you are tempted to think that our Lord has thrown the events and circumstances of life at us with no thought or precision, look more closely at what it says. Briefly stated, but clearly stated, through Him are all things. He's not just the sovereign giver. He is the sovereign guide of all things. And this speaks to two very important truths for life. One, the first, is the disposal of circumstances. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing of it is from the Lord. That is, the lot, or the event, the situation, or the circumstance is thrown into your lap. And it seems that way, doesn't it? It's like you're sitting, enjoying your cup of coffee, and somebody throws a snake in your lap. And that's the way it seems sometimes with life circumstances. But the disposing of it, the arranging and guiding of it, is from the Lord. Christ not only gives everything, He also guides everything. He who upholds all things by the word of His power guides everything in your life. He gives it. He guides it. All things. And I do mean all things are orchestrated by His sovereign and skillful hand into a providential orchestra of events and circumstances designed to conform the believer into the image of Christ and bring glory to God the Father. I was just reading the passage in Romans 8:28 that we so love that tells us that God works, that things are working together. All things are working together. The word there is from a word, is a word in the original from which we derive the word synergy. What is synergy? It is the combining of efforts and energies to one purpose. And God's synergizing events and circumstances for our good and His glory. And that's largely why Paul could say, as we saw earlier, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's difficult at times, even for serious, biblically minded Christians, to grasp this concept. We plan our work, and we work our plan, sometimes only to see it all fall apart. And yet there is one who wisely and perfectly and unfailingly plans and disposes all things. And so this verse, this concept that he is the guide of all things, speaks to the fact, speaks to the disposal of circumstances. But secondly, it speaks to the direction of circumstances, and we touched on it already. But not only does God dispose them, he directs them. Not only does our Lord throw them out there, but he directs them specifically. God is not dead, as the hymn says, nor doth he sleep. Not one sparrow falls to the ground without his intimate knowledge of the event. He guides all affairs of men and women, boys and girls, without mistake, without interference, and without interruption. And dear believer, you may be sure that our Lord has planned your path and will do all that is necessary to bring it to pass. You can rest on that. Rest your soul on that, as the old lady said to the preacher in the Christie show. Rest your soul on that, sonny. God's will for you shall not be thwarted. Whatever my God ordains is right. Holy his will abideth. I will be still whatever he does and follow where he guideth. He is my God. Though dark the road, he holds me that I shall not fall. And so to him I leave it all. I leave it all. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. You know, David wrote a song that said something similar. In Psalm 57, verses 2 and 3, he said, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. Our Lord is the sovereign guide of all things. And finally, we see that our Lord is the sovereign giver, the sovereign goal of all, of everything. He is the sovereign giver, the sovereign guide, and ultimately the sovereign goal of everything. And to him, unto him, are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. So, we've come full circle back to our original question. What are we to make of life's circumstances? To what end or purpose do we live our lives? What is the point anyway? And here lies the answer right before us. For from him and through him and unto him are all. To whom be glory forever. Now, there are a couple of things here that I want us to finish up with. The first is the mystery of God's work. The mystery of God's work. And it will always be a mystery for us, this side of eternity. Ron Dunn once said, the mystery of good and evil is the mixture of good and evil. The trials and troubles of life tempt us to doubt the unfailing and unchanging goodness of God. But we who know Christ must not allow it. Christ's gifts to us can be perplexing and cause us to wonder why. Paul the Apostle knew something of that, as we saw earlier in the week. Something about the perplexing nature of Christ's gifts. There was given to me a thorn, a stake, used for impaling and torturing. In the flesh, to beat me. For which I asked God 3 times, remove this fully, finally. There is a mystery to God's work. There is a mystery to God's will. There is a mystery to God's sovereignty. John the Baptist experienced it. He came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was to usher in the Messiah. And yet, he was in prison. His life in danger. He had done what he was supposed to do. He had preached the Messiah's coming. He had made straight, prepared a way for the Lord. And now he's in jail. And so, mystified as he was, with some question about what's going on, he sends his disciples to question Jesus. And they said, John wants to know, are you the coming one or do we look for another? If I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, and you're the Messiah, why am I here in prison? And why are things going the way they are going? The mystery to the will of God. We don't get it all figured out this side of eternity. Now, we do see, through a glass, a mirror, darkly. Now we know in part. We don't get the whole picture yet. We cannot remove the mystery. And so there is the mystery of God's work, but there is, we know this, the motive of God's work. And having said all this, there is a bottom line. There is a divine motive. In the final analysis, life is not about you or me. The prevailing view of life is that man is the center of all things. Even much of Christian teaching is man-centered, but God's motive is His own glory, His own will. People sometimes worry about God looking bad, about Him appearing unfair. We must leave it with God in the end. I'm not saying we can't give some answers. Don't expect your answers, even biblical answers, to be understood or acceptable to the unbelieving. In the end, it is His concern. Trust your God. He'll take care of Himself. No life is about, not about you and me. It is about the glory of God, displayed in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the mystery. This is the wonder of it all. The God who deserves and will receive all glory has ordained that those who know and follow Christ will participate in that glory. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Dear brother and sister in Christ, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And that's as good as it gets. That's as good as it gets. And so, I encourage you, run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up your eyes and seek His face. Life with its way before you lies. Christ is the path. Christ the prize. Cast care aside. Lean on your guide. His boundless mercy will provide. Trust. And your trusting soul will prove Christ is its life and Christ its love. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it is true we can't get our arms around these things. And for that we are glad. We approach you and approach things that are above us and beyond us, but which by your grace you have given us to swim in, to walk in, given us the ocean that is you, yourself, the mighty God. Help us in some measure to trust you and walk with you in a way that will show people a glimpse of this, that will leave a fragrance of Christ, a savor of Him. All of us will go today, and in our lives are those who do not know Christ. Help us to walk in such a way as to make Him evident. And may you somehow eclipse us with the glory of your Son. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.